Now, I think you'll find this next story quite interesting, especially if you're somebody who's interested in history and history with local connections in particular. There's an organisation called the Commonwealth War Graves Commission in the UK. And as you probably all know, they've done a lot of work over the years to commemorate those who died in World War One and indeed World War Two. But sometimes it's possible that people who were heroes during these wars slipped through the cracks. Now, it's easier to have a record of those who died on the battlefields during World War One. But what about those who died not during the war, but as a result of the war? Those who became either sick or injured and then died shortly after they were discharged from the army and came home. Well, that was the case of one young man called John Fitzgerald from Upper Rock Street in Tralee, who fought with the British Army in World War One, and whose name is going to be carved on a memorial which will be unveiled next week in Surrey by none other than Princess Anne from the British Royal Family. And this is a very interesting story, how John Fitzgerald's exploits came to the public attention and how he came to be remembered in this very important memorial next week. I spoke earlier to Fiona Kingston. Fiona is from the Commonwealth War Graves Commission, who are involved in organising all of this. And at the outset, I put it to her that these new men being commemorated next week are largely those who didn't necessarily die on the battlefield, but as a result of their involvement in World War One.
That's exactly what we tend to see with such cases. So obviously, casualties who died on the front lines were often buried in Europe, or they may their bodies may never have been recovered and they may be commemorated on a memorial. But what we see with the casualties that died in the UK and Ireland is that they served overseas, but they came home and they were discharged from the army. But they were often, their health was severely damaged either through injury or illness from their war service. And they actually died just a few months, a few years after their service, but their death was directly attributable to that service and to those injuries and illness. And so these are casualties who, by virtue of the fact that they'd left the army, there was no recognition that their death was because of their war service, that that kind of connection had been severed when they left the army.
Okay. And one of those people, of course, which is the reason we're speaking to you today, is Sergeant Major John Fitzgerald from Tralee. So how did his story come to your attention?
So his story was raised by us through public researchers. So most of the cases that we receive are through members of the public. Sometimes these might be family members. Sometimes these might be just keen, dedicated researchers. And these cases are raised with us, and then we will investigate based on the surviving military records to determine whether that casualty qualifies for commemoration according to our eligibility criteria. And Company Sergeant Major Fitzgerald's story was a very colourful one, actually, and told us a lot about the experiences that he'd had during the First World War.
So what can you tell us about him?
So he was born in around 1893 in Tralee, and he actually had a very long service history. So many of the casualties that we see signed up due to the start of the First World War. But Fitzgerald was a pre-war soldier, so he actually enlisted at the age of 18 in 1911. So there's a sense there that he was hoping to make this his career. And he had previously been with the Special Reserves of the Royal Munster Fusiliers, and that was who he decided to enlist with. And he actually really rose through the ranks. So he started just as a private, and he rose up to become a company sergeant major. So obviously when the First World War started, he was immediately kind of shipped out as one of the more experienced soldiers. He served on the Mediterranean front in Gallipoli in 1915, and then he went over to France with the British Expeditionary Force, and he was there between 1916 to 1918. So he would have seen a lot of service and a lot of the major battles of the First World War. And he did incredibly well and was actually very distinguished through medals. And in August 1917, he was awarded the Distinguished Conduct Medal. And I'll just read out for you the description of why he was awarded this medal for gallantry.
Please do.
Although twice buried by shellbursts, he encouraged his company, greatly assisting his commander in the successful capture of a position and setting a magnificent example to the men by his utter disregard of danger. So he was obviously an incredibly experienced soldier by the time of the First World War. And I think that that quote really sums up the fact that he was really willing to just try and lead his men in this battle. Unfortunately, he was his health was affected by his wartime service, and he was discharged from service in September 1918. That was after over 7 years of service in the military. And this was because he was suffering from tuberculosis, which was a very common condition at the time. And at the time that he was discharged, it was noted that he had contracted this illness due to damp and exposure that he had experienced through his conditions on the front lines. He was sent to the workhouse hospital in Tralee for treatment of his tuberculosis, but he actually died only 4 months after his discharge from the army. And he was survived by his father, Garrett Fitzgerald, who lived in Tralee.
And so he actually died at home in Tralee?
He did indeed, yes, he did, and he did. And that's obviously the story that we see a lot. Casualties who'd had incredibly long service, but actually their health was really, really severely damaged. And obviously you can see that it was only 4 months after he left the army that he did die at home.
And how did you say again, it wasn't his family who contacted your organisation about having him commemorated. It just came up anyway.
Yes, it came up through a researcher in this instance. Yeah, we see all sorts of cases brought to us, and it's not always that family members are aware of the cases that that might relate to their relatives.
Okay, so do we know? Were you able to track down any relatives who might be able to attend the unveiling?
Sadly, that's not something that we sort of have the capacity to do when it comes to memorials. So wherever the commission is erecting a headstone, we will always try and see if we can contact family members to ask them to provide input on the content of the headstone. But sadly, we can't do that with, given the numbers of names that are going on to memorials. We have roughly 400 that are being added to the new Brookwood Memorial. We were unable to track down family members for that number of casualties. So sadly, we're not aware of family members for Company Sergeant Major Fitzgerald.
Okay, well, you never know who might be listening to this radio show.
Well, no, absolutely. And it would be very interesting to know if anyone does have a connection to them.
You don't have an address for him, just that he was from Tralee?
I don't think that I do. No, I think just from Tralee is what we have, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I have actually just found it. So his intended address upon leaving the army was Upper Rock Street, Tralee.
Okay, this is absolutely intriguing, because there was a well-known Fitzgerald family in Upper Rock Street, Tralee, and I'm just wondering aloud if he might be related to them.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, this is very exciting indeed. So the commemoration, the unveiling of the memorial is happening on the 9th of June, which is when?
Next Tuesday. Is the inauguration, yes.
Okay, and what will happen on the day?
So we've invited various people who were involved in the project, as you can imagine, many staff members, volunteer researchers, and also the architects and the landscape architects. Obviously, a very large part of what the commission does is to try and ensure that the memorials and the cemeteries where we commemorate casualties really have that really beautiful kind of horticultural element. There'll also be members of the kind of relevant military forces coming along. And we're really delighted that the Commission's president, which is HRH Princess Anne, will be coming to inaugurate the memorial. And obviously, in any of these types of occasions, it's really important that we reenact previous rituals that would have been done. So if you think about kind of Armistice Day ceremonies, there would be laying of wreaths, there would be readings, and that opportunity to really reflect on the sacrifice that these casualties have made and the fact that we're now able to commemorate them in perpetuity.
Yeah, it's a lovely thing to do because, as you said, so many people died and they mightn't directly have died on the battlefield, but they died as a direct result of becoming ill or injured or whatever. So it's lovely that they're being remembered as well. And I presume, even though I know he died in Tralee, so we assume he was buried in Tralee as well, John Fitzgerald.
Yes. So in any instance where a case such as this has come to us and the casualty died at home, then obviously our expectation is that the family would have arranged for the burial of the casualty. And the Commission will always try and commemorate a casualty at their grave location. It's always the ideal form of commemoration would be to place a headstone for that casualty. But because of the surviving records that we have available to us, it's not always possible for us to locate those graves. So that would have been a part of the work, the investigation that we did for all of the casualties on the memorial. But sadly, where we aren't able to locate a grave, then we would choose to commemorate them in stone on a memorial as a fitting form of commemoration where we can't locate that grave.
Well, look, we'll do our own little bit of digging from this side, Fiona, and I'll stay in touch with you because, you know, but as I said already, it's lovely that he and the others are being remembered in this way. Fiona, it's been fascinating talking to you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful to be able to talk about this.
And that was Fiona Kingston there from the Commonwealth War Graves Commission speaking to me earlier about war hero John Fitzgerald from Upper Rock Street in Tralee, who's going to be remembered in that commemoration in Surrey next Tuesday. And wouldn't it be lovely to find out if he is related to the Fitzgeralds who had the shop in Rock Street in Tralee, or indeed if he still has any relatives or descendants still living here in the county. If anyone knows any more about that, do get in touch with us. Now, coming up after the break, we'll be talking about the benefits of gardening.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, sponsored by